Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Apologies for that. This is the problem when you're broadcasting out of studio. And as I've mentioned, I'm actually in Israel for the next 10 days. I will be doing the show periodically from here. But sometimes when you're not used to not being in studio, you don't remember to unmute yourself. Either way, I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. And as I mentioned, landed yesterday. And the first thing you notice is the incredible focus on the hostages, on bringing them home. We get into a taxi, and the first thing that you discuss with the taxi driver is exactly this issue. Well, somebody that we've been speaking to along the way is Rabbi Avidan Friedman. He's an activist, and we wanted to get his response to the hostage deal and what this really means going forward. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hi, Shalom Howard. Welcome to Israel. We should be doing this in person over a cup of coffee.
We actually really should be, because the coffee here is not bad at all. So, but either way, you know, when you, I haven't been to Israel for a couple of months, maybe 8 months or so. Obviously, I have been here since October the 7th. But what I have noticed is that the whole notion of the hostages and the war, although people are carrying on with their lives, it's very overt. Wherever you are, you see it, you feel it, it's addressed. Give me your idea of what is likely to happen now that we are starting to see some of the return of the hostages. Is this going to become more so or lesser part of Israeli life and culture?
I think you're absolutely correct. It's really, it's part of, I have a necklace that many people walk around with, you know, one of these military necklaces that says, "Halev shelanu shavui ba'aza," our heart is captive in Gaza. And it's not a necklace. It's really literally true. I'm actually, over the past few months been part of a new initiative of, medical professionals who have been giving, lectures to the Israeli public about the health impact of the hostage crisis, not only on the hostages, but actually on Israeli society. And there's been a study done on this of how Israelis are literally, their mental health, their physical health has been affected by this. So it's very, very present all of the time. And it's absolutely true that now with the hostage deal and the release, you can see the way people are breathing a little bit more. People are breathing a little bit more, and people are feeling like their heart is opening up a little bit. My own hope is that the emotional momentum will also be something that can't be stopped. But there is definitely a very serious concern and a fear that this deal will not be carried through until all of the hostages are released. And I think that there is, I mean, there's really a whole mix of emotions. There's a lot of joy. There is a lot of sadness for hostages that are not being released and the families that are, whose loved ones are not yet coming home. There is concern for whether it's going to continue. And of course, there's also fear and anxiety about the terrorists that are being released to the West Bank, to Gaza, at East Jerusalem.
And also, of course, the fact, and I know it's deliberate, and it's deliberately designed by Hamas to show strength, but when you look at those images of the release of the hostages, there's almost this, was it all worth it feeling, because, well, there's Hamas. They seem to be pretty strong and pretty powerful and in control of their environment.
Right, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely an aspect of, I mean, clearly Hamas wants to try to show itself as strong as possible. On the one hand, you know, they're showing their strength on the backdrop of a completely destroyed Gaza, that 80% of buildings, 90% of buildings have been destroyed. People are going back and living in tent cities. So there's something absurd about it. But on the other hand, there is a reality that I think that needs to be addressed, which is that if we were being promised by Israeli leaders, by the prime minister, the total victory, it's clear that even after more than a year of going all out in our war, you don't get to total victory. And apparently you don't get to total victory over an enemy like this just by brute force and by power. There have to be other methods that are used. And the fact of the matter is that because there has been no alternative put into place for Hamas, that vacuum simply is refilled by Hamas. And yes, Hamas, even after all of this time, still has power. It has military power, and it also has governing power.
What I find interesting and maybe a little concerning, and I'd love your comments on it, is that in some ways, Israel is not fighting a war on the same battlefield as Hamas is. In other words, a normal government would be concerned about the welfare of their people. For Hamas, the higher the death toll in Gaza, the better they do. That a normal government would be concerned about the destruction of schools and hospitals and everything else. For Hamas, again, that's just footage, and in fact, that's currency for them. Has Israel, after all of this time, learned to fight a type of an enemy that differs totally in its value system to them?
It's true. It's a serious dilemma. The dilemma, the challenge of asymmetric warfare is one that's faced all over the world, but in Israel, maybe in the most acute way, it might be said. And I think all throughout, there's kind of been this this dispute, this argument within Israeli society, with two extremes of how to relate to that. One is, do you speak to them in their own language? Do you need to fight? Do you need to fight on their battlefield, on their terms, in the language that they understand, on the one hand? Or on the other hand, do we say, yes, Hamas fights with their based on their value system and their on their court, but we need to maintain our own ideals, and we need to be consistent and committed to our own values, regardless of whether Hamas sees it as a victory or doesn't see it as a victory. We need to define victory in our terms and not in their terms. And that kind of really comes to a head with the hostage deal, because while it is a victory, like you said, they're trying to show it as a victory on their terms. For me, I would say, I don't care. For us, for Israeli society, bringing our hostages home is the greatest victory, and you can feel it. And it's true that it comes with serious concessions and problematic concessions and dangerous concessions of releasing prisoners and terrorists, and of, in some ways, strengthening Hamas or giving them that victory picture. But for me, the significant thing is to say what's most important to us are our own definitions of what victory is and what it looks like. And for us, it's life and not death. That's the difference.
Well, to some extent, if you add to that, if you follow your thought process, part of the challenge here is that in many ways, and I'm using the word very, very loosely, and I don't mean it in the way that I'm using it, but in many ways, this war has radicalized Israelis. And I don't really mean radicalized, I'm just using it in the sense that people have moved right. So the left has moved a bit more center's moved right. Certainly I find myself having, if I zoom out of my own political narrative and standpoint, I've moved right, and that too is a danger in of itself, is it not?
It is potentially a danger. I agree with that. In some ways, it's very true, and in some ways, it's not. So again, I think on the one hand, it's very true and also understandable, and certainly immediately after after this all happened, after October 7th, it was even more palpable, the rage, the anger, the trauma, and you were hearing very extreme voices in Israel that you never heard before in a much more mainstream way, and much of that still remains. But on the other hand, again, you see something like 70 to 80% of Israelis nowadays who are in favor of stopping the war and in favor of returning all of the hostages, dead and alive. So even with those sentiments there, at the end of the day, when you ask people about what they want and how they see things, people are not interested. Most Israelis are not interested in an eternal war until we completely eradicate the enemy, even if that's the way many people were talking, a year ago, and some people are still talking now. Most Israelis are not there, and most Israelis are saying, yes, we need to stop this war, and we need to get our hostages back, and we need to start rebuilding our world and our society the way we envision it.
Right. And on real values. Rabbi Avidan Friedman, we do need to leave it there because it is 7 o'clock. He is an activist in Israel. I'd love your thoughts and your reaction to the conversation. It is 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Philbin. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.